Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
My name is Anna Silk. For 6 seasons, I played Beau on the hit TV series Lost Girl.
And my name is Rachel Skarsten, and for 3 seasons, I played Tamsin.
Welcome to the Lost Girl Rewatch Podcast,
a show where we will look at all the episodes, share some behind-the-scenes stories,
and chat with some very special guests.
Now, on the show, our relationship was sometimes rocky,
but in life, our friendship is rock solid.
We are so glad that you are here to join us for this trip down memory lane.
We love that the family is back together again.
Welcome back to the Lost Girl Rewatch Podcast. This is episode 2, where we will be discussing episodes 3 and 4 of season 2. Rachel, our guest today, are you excited?
Is the one, the only,
good God.
And actually, those of you who don't know, Vincent and I didn't work together on Lost Girl, but we did work together on another movie, which I had forgotten about.
Which I reminded her of.
So there's a lovely connection there. Yeah. Thank you for being on the show. We're really
and
excited.
As many
to
of you,
you,
well, you'll all know that Vincent played Lachlan, who came in season 2 as the new Ash. And I remember you were in either the first or second episode where you had to win some kind of competition in the woods to become the new Ash. Yeah. That was clear. And then you did, I don't remember how many episodes you did, but you did quite a few.
Mm-hmm. I think it was pretty much all that season 2. Popped me in there. I mean, I don't even I didn't realize I was going to be in so much, to be quite honest with you. And it was kind of like, oh, I'm in this one as well. Oh, and then it was a nice compliment.
I can't imagine why they kept putting you in every episode.
Maybe they realized somebody that was sick at the time. They said, pop him in, get rid of, let's get him in there anyway, because.
I think it was not that. I think that you rocked that role. I hope you know that. I hope you know that watching this season for me and watching Beau and Lachlan together, I didn't realize we had really good chemistry, and it was because I was absolutely terrified of you. Completely terrified of you, as Beau should have been. But me, Anna, was very intimidated by you because you in a great way, because you were just this really strong presence to be around.
Listen, you give as good as you get, I tell you that. And I mean, it's so long ago when I try to think back, and I skimmed through a couple of the episodes, but when I realized, I didn't know what I was getting myself into, to be honest with you. As sometimes is the case with a lot of these bloody things, you're thrown these things, and the next day you know. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, when you're working with good people and you're working with people who know their shit. You're gonna react. I'm very reactive. If I get something off people or whatever, but I'm beautiful. Now I can sink my teeth into that. And when I was working with you, because I was also very, sensitive, to the fact that, you know, you're the lead on this thing. It's non-stop. It's go, go, go. And when you think you've got a moment, no, they don't. They pull you in another direction because that's what it is. So I remember being a lead in a couple of these things. And fuck me, your brain is nearly melted, but you're going on. So I was very aware of the fact that the actor that I'm playing opposite here is really fucking, you know, it's not just this scene. It's the whole bloody, you're the show. You are the bloody show. And we come in and pick at you. You know, we play off you. It's that everybody's coming in to play off you.
Yeah, so you're like the sun and everyone else is the planet.
Exactly, exactly. And that's on and off camera.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Oh, you know, and I'm very aware of that. Like, you know, I mean, we walk on these sets sometimes, cameras on, we got to look fucking really amazing, kill it, nail it, or do whatever we got to do. But, you know, people on the outside, you know, out of this racket don't realize that, you know, we could be going through a really fucking tough time behind mm-hmm. the camera, you know, people, when we have kids, teenagers, all that, you know, that's another aspect. So I'm very aware of that, but I mean, I worked opposite you and I loved it. I really, really, but I was very guarded as well. And I'm very guarded anyway in the real world. It's just the way I'm wired that way. And going on these things on a set such as Lost Girl, very guarded and very, because I guess I kind of had to be anyway. It helped
yes,
with the character
absolutely. Yep.
that mm-hmm. I was playing, which is interesting. And it's funny, you know, I talked to my girlfriend the other day, and we were talking about, and she made a very incredible point where, you know, things happen. I'm a firm believer in things happening for a reason. And, you know, a lot of the roles that I get or take on or, you know, self-tape for, it's funny, the ones that I get are the ones that I react to are very, very correlate with what I'm going through with my life.
Interesting.
Interesting.
And it's funny how it's pretty fucking weird. If I look at like my career or whatever, or the resume or and you go, Jesus, the parts that I'm playing are very, very, you can really see what I'm going through in my life in the real world, you know. And this guy coming in here, very, very, funny enough, you were scared of me. I was intimidated by you.
I mean, that's hilarious to me, but yes. But well, I mean, it's an environment to step into for sure.
It's an environment to step into, you know, you're on top of your game. You know who the fuck you're playing. You know exactly. And I'm coming in there a complete outsider. And I didn't, you know, with the exception of maybe one or two directors that I knew, I didn't really know anybody. And so I had to play it like I will go through anybody who comes near me, mm-hmm. gets too close. So I had to play it that way. And it worked, but it worked well for the role.
It worked so well. And I loved how you, like in watching all of these back, and in particular these episodes, you're very good at just holding space and time with it, like with this energy. And it's very compelling, but it's also it was scary. I just remember being so scared, intimidated, and it was perfect for Bo. But it was exactly what that role needed. And we were so lucky to have you. And we barely met. I mean, what was your audition for the show? Do you remember?
Yeah.
God, you know, I can't remember.
Did you get an offer? Did you put it on tape? Did you have to go in the room?
No. I had to self-tape for that. I'm trying to rack my brains.
Self-tape was kind of just starting to be a thing. Before that,
it wasn't a self-tape. I had to go in. I just trying to.
I know self-tape back then for me was like VHS, and then put it into a bag. And
yeah, it would, FedEx.
No, oh my gosh, I remember.
Yes, FedEx. Pure later. Remember Pure Later?
Lost
Canada.
Yeah. Well, not that old. Anna.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
Well, I remember standing outside directors' doors, going, "I can do it right here.
I can do it.
No, through the letterbox. I can do it right. I can do it right here. Hello. So, scene one. Okay, enters. but it was definitely an in person audition. Yeah. But I can't for the life of me remember where, who, what.
Do you
when.
Have any like specific memories that you'd want to share from your time on Lost Girl? They could be good, they could be bad.
It was a lot of
Rachel. Rachel, my memories, I mean, I don't have many memories other than the ones I remember from yesterday.
I actually think that's kind of remarkable because, I mean, rewatching the show, there's a lot I remember. I don't remember story. Like I'm watching it as if like, then what do? I can't remember. Like, I just can't remember. What I remember is like what was happening around me. Like I very specific things like, oh, we were all waiting for a grilled cheese or so, you know, like it's just ridiculous things. But that's what I remember. Or I remember something about the clothing. What I remember working with you is like, I don't even remember like meeting you. I just remember suddenly being in your lair, looking at you and you sort of walking towards me and us finding this very interesting relationship between action and cut, because I feel like I didn't see much of you in between scenes. It's like you disappeared into the lair and then you would come back down. Did you live there while filming? Is that what happened?
I lived up the road. I rented out an Airbnb and I just stayed in there. It was, literally up the road. I just stayed there and when we met on that first day, and I do recall, I don't remember. I mean, I think we had the introduction. Yes. We had there was a read through of the scripts or something like that. And I'm sitting at the table and I'm my guard and I don't know what I'm walking myself into. And I'm just looking at everybody and I'm going, okay. It's like, I guess maybe it's the gangster in me or something. From Dublin and stuff. I was going, right, I think I got him pegged. I don't know. And you're like that. Now let's get stuck into it. Let's just do what we got to do. I'll learn my shit as best as I can and be able to work. And there's Anna there. Okay, fine. I have to really be mindful of what she's going through. Blah, 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 blah. She's the lead woman on this job. So, when we arrive on set, it's rock and roll time now. It's rock and roll. Don't fuck around. Don't knock over the furniture and give you what you need. And hopefully we make it through and then hit lunch.
You know, and I have to say, I appreciate your mindfulness of what it does take to lead a show. Because I mean, you can't lead a show without the guests that come on and your co-stars, and like, you can't, there's nothing to lead.
And by the way, you know, I love walking into jobs where everybody's doing their job and everybody's there to help you out. Because I want to help you out. It's that fucking thing. That's the reason why we got in the racket together. That's why I love doing what we do. Sometimes you walk on set and there's this fucking attitude of like, well, I'm going to fucking do this to you and I'm going to get around that guy. And I said, no, man, we're here to play. We're here to have a bit of fun. Mm-hmm. You do what you got to do. I'm always wanting to help out.
I think any of the challenging people and personalities and all that stuff getting involved really should happen between action and cut. I mean, that's what, if you have those impulses, sometimes they don't, they happen behind the scenes and it becomes very stressful. And
it's way too short
and fast. Coming onto an existing cast is a challenging thing to do. You're coming into a tight-knit group. You don't know what you're stepping into. Are there particular challenges with that for you? I know you've done that on several shows. And were there any particular challenges to coming onto Lost Girl that you can remember?
Well, I tell you what, I mean, I think it's just par for the course of, you know, no matter how long you've been in this racket, you're always, you know, your trepidations, your anxieties, and it's how we tackle them. And walking on to a show when everybody's starting together is always a much nicer feeling, because we're all walking on here on a tightrope together. Mm-hmm. And then we find ourselves and we're all getting to know each other. And there's that natural progression of becoming where one hopes to become comrades on the ship. So, but, you know, walking into as a guest on things, I fucking nearly, you know, want to cry.
Me too.
When I see them.
Me too. It's so, you know, intimidating.
I want to just, I just want to go into a corner and say,
I feel the opposite. No, I feel the exact opposite. When I start something with everyone, it makes me nervous, because I'm like, okay, so we're all kind of it's like when you're first dating someone and you're 20 and you're like not really being yourself, you know? And so I'm like, I mean, they seem cool now, but like, who knows, you know?
Yeah.
Come on to something that's already established. Everyone's shit's already out there, you know? So you're coming in and you kind of see everything for what it is, and then you can size it up and proceed, you know, as you see.
You're so fucking smart, Rachel.
I
know. I wish I could have that. That's the way to look at it. But I try to go, yeah, no. But then I just go, no, I don't want to do it.
No, but it's good also, because you're not part of any of the drama, if there is any, you know, so you can just kind of glide.
Rachel, you were really good at walking away from drama always. Because a lot of drama I find on set can happen in the hair makeup trailer. And I mean, we had a very happy hair makeup trailer, but you know, if there's any gossipy things starting to happen, it's always in that trailer. And Rachel would be the first one to be like, all right, I'm out of here, and just walk out. And I'd be like, wow.
It's also because, I actually hate hair and makeup. just sitting in that chair and people poking and I mean, I loved our hair and makeup people, but that's just across like par for the course. I just do not like that part of our job. It feels the most laborious to me out of anything that we do. So part of it is just that. I just can't wait to get out of there.
Rachel, you and me both. I mean, no matter how nice you are, this stuff doing all that stuff. And I did not.
It felt so important to the character for me, because, I mean, I wore so much makeup on the show. My hair, I had hair extensions in.
Yeah.
I had everything pushed up and pinched and twisted and all of these things. And like, by the time the show was done, I was like, I feel so dumpy. I'm so glamorous on the show. And I had to get used to like going into a different hair makeup trailer. I'm like, but why did it only take 20 minutes? It's got to take 2 hours at least. And, it was very much part of getting ready every day for me. But it is laborious to sit in that chair. Yeah,
it's fucking. I mean, it's an ordeal in itself. I mean, especially for women, for God's sakes. I mean, especially when you, you know. I mean, I imagine going into a period piece.
Where it's all, you know. Actually the only time I didn't mind it, because I had a wig, and it felt like becoming a different person in a very real sense, rather than just like trying to cover my zit and make me look pretty, you know,
which
I cared a little bit less about, I think, than transforming into another person. That I could kind of,
I think,
buy
that's
into.
What I felt about Beau's makeup. It was transformative. Like, it wasn't just pretty, you need it. Yeah.
I mean, I'm always a person, like on this job I'm coming off of, the minute I put that gear on, I mean, I had this fucking really stylish
beard.
I love
a beard.
Yeah.
Was that your beard, or did?
No, this is, you know, like a real mustache beard, kind of like goatee-ish, but full out beard. I'll send you a picture.
I feel like you could grow that though.
I could grow a beard in an hour.
That is a superpower.
It's on my CV, it's on my special skills. Many
of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
But listen, you just to get back to, you asked what memorable moments or something on the show. I'll tell you something. I was just, when I was getting this thing up, I was just, there's one thing that I remember from working on that show. And do you remember when they got us to do that mega fucking, that crazy Errol Flynn sword fighting thing?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Do I remember?
Yeah. Rachel, let me tell you something. Here's what they did, right? It's like only on TV. So they're talking about, you know, all right, we're going to have you doing some sword fighting. And it's just going to be a little bit of sword fighting. You're going to be sword fighting and you're just going to be sword fighting.
And then, followed by a bit more sword fighting. Yeah.
And I said, so when you think you can send me, we're going to send you a link of an idea. We just put this little tiny thing together. It's a tiny thing, but sword fighting. And we just send it to you. So open up the link. Open up the link on the computer. And holy fuck. It was like, what? Are you fucking having a laugh? Are you having a laugh? Flips.
A thin, long table.
And it's all like this, all like this. Earl Flynn.
And then up and down the stairs. You'd walk backwards.
Then no, jump off the table, and then out through a back door.
I've seen this fight. It's up on the Lost Girl.
Well, there's a clip of you and I, Vincent, in a rehearsal. Just a very quick, there's no sound. It's just a clip of us rehearsing that. Because that was like, we didn't have long to rehearse.
But wait a second. Yes.
Listen, we rehearsed the day before.
For a day.
And, it was a day.
And like, not even. It's not a skill I have. I mean, I sword fighting.
I do it all the time.
And I remember my sword fighting, everything looked kind of, to me, looked really big and lazy. Like I had a great stunt double who could make it look a little sharper. But I was like, good God. I mean, it felt like, it was overwhelming, that sword fight. I can't believe I had really not thought about that. But yes, of course.
I'm good at bringing back nightmares. Anyway, so this thing didn't, like, when we thought it was over. No, mate. There's another whole fucking batch. You got to do all this down the stairs.
You had to walk backwards.
Winding stair. Yep.
You had to walk backwards down the stairs.
Oh, and there's a bit of dialogue in between all this stuff as well. But,
that's my least favorite, dialogue.
That is the hardest dialogue to learn. That's when I start. I literally have to go like, one, two, say a line. But like, I can't. Oh, look at the balloons.
Also, what's happening?
The balloons are going up.
Because you're on your phone.
Anyways. But then as we nearing the end, like we can just about see the finish line. But every time we saw the finish line, they actually moved it a bit further.
It was exhausting. Yeah.
And we jumped on this thing. And I remember you looking at me. You just looked at me and went, I'm really tired. Are you tired? And I just looked at you and I went, I'm fucked.
And action. Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. That was probably one of the most challenging fights I did on the whole show. Because just the learning curve alone and the quickness of it and the fact that we're holding weapons and we're both actors and like
we didn't take each other's eyes out.
Thank goodness, Vincent. Thank you for that. I really appreciate having both.
It's actually amazing what you trust actors to do. We're all just kind of idiots, you know.
But you know, the funny thing is, we weren't actors around that time. We were just two lunatics going downstairs with swords. I mean,
and we're filming it. Exactly. That's exactly. Oh my God. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Have you done or have you had any fan encounters over the years?
Any therapy? Yes.
Have you had any sword handling since? No, but have you had any specific Lost Girl fan encounters? Because I don't know if you know, Lost Girl fans reach far and wide and are a very devoted bunch.
Well, okay, you're going to laugh at this, and I'm not making this one up. I was, my ex and I, we were in Lanzarote with the kids. And Lanzarote is a very well-known place for where families go because it does what it says on the tin. It's very, it's in Spain, and it's very child friendly, and it's really, you know, it just works. There's no, it's not loud. There's no clubs or anything like that. It's just what you want as a, you know, young parents and two kids. My son would have been, I think, about 10, maybe 11. And my daughter would have been about, you know, seven or eight. Anyway, so we're sitting in this really nice little restaurant by the sea, and these two women are looking way over there, and they're looking over at me, and one was, "Are you in Lachlan? You play Lachlan in the thing?" And I went, "What?" I said, "Yeah," and she says, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm in Lanzarote. This is where my family, we come here all the time." "Really?" And "We love you on the show." And it was just, I was like, that is,
out of nowhere,
just came out
yeah.
of nowhere. Like this, out of fucking. And then there was a time in, I was in London. I was around, where was I? I was in around Coventry, I think. And I was in a cafe. And again, there were these two other girls there sitting down having coffees. And they made a point of recognizing me from the show. And it was, I think it was just kind of the show was in its, maybe it went into its, it was in its third season, I think, maybe. Mm-hmm. So I thought I was pretty, I was amazing. That was pretty interesting.
Definitely. You know? I remember the first time I got recognized as Bo, I was in New York City with my husband, who's from New York. We were on the subway and this girl was like, "Oh my God, you know, are you Bo from Lost Girl?" And I was like, "Oh my God, yes, I am." And then I started to get more excited than she was. And my husband was like, "Okay, you need to like back off now." play it cool. Yeah, right. Okay. I was just so excited because it was so unexpected, you know? Are you in a band? Do you have a band? Is that you singing on your Instagram? I went on a link on your Instagram. Is that you singing?
Yeah.
Shut
that's me singing.
Up.
Yeah.
Rachel, have you heard it?
Yeah.
Okay. No. I'm officially a fangirl. It's incredible. I'm from the East Coast of Canada. So that's the kind of music I grew up with, right? Like you go to the bar,
really?
You sing some sort of sea shanty and you whack the table and it's like, that's like in my bones, which I know is hard to believe, but it is. And I was clicking on it. I was like, I bet that's Vincent singing. And it is. That's so cool. You have to hear it, Rachel.
Well, Anna, thank you so much. Thank you so much. That is something else. I got roped in with a couple of bands back in the day. I play guitar and all that stuff. So we were in this band, and actually, funny enough, the guy who was the guitarist on one of those tracks, on a bunch of those tracks, he and I paired up and created more music. But he used to be. that's
we love dogs.
We love dogs.
Hang on a second. Hold on. Bear with me.
I feel like the more you talk to them, the more they bark. They're like, what?
I know. The more you're like, please stop. Okay. The more they're like, Oh my goodness.
I tell you something. She's this little cockadoodle. She's a doodle, one of those doodle dogs. She's the most beautiful little thing. Beautiful little thing. She attack you with
love
kisses. But her dog, her bite is her bark. Sorry, not her bite, her bark.
We have two small
fierce.
Dogs and
that is crazy.
And a bite immunity. Down, keeper, down, keeper. I just wanted to break what we were talking about.
Your band and your singing, yeah.
The band. There was a guy, Dave Sweeney, who played in a band back in the 80s, big band called the Vipers, and they opened up for the Jam. And they were great friends with Paul Weller, and the Jam were a massive, massive band, mods back in the 80s and 90s and whatever. Anyway, and he used to pal around with Pete Townsend and Phil Lynott and stuff. that's the pedigree I was playing with these guys. Just anyway, but that was the move. So I'm really actually I'm very touched that you.
It was great. It was wonderful. We'll have to. I mean. Play it for people because it's pretty phenomenal. So let's summarize this. You play guitar, you sing, you're a great actor.
Sword
you
fight.
Can kind of sword fight and you can grow a beard in 1 hour. These are skills
pretty much,
beyond.
Yeah.
Vincent, thank you for coming on the podcast. I swear this is going to make fans so happy to hear from you because, you know,
we actually did a poll and asked, who would you like to see for season two? And yours was the number one name people asked for.
No,
it was.
I pay them handsomely. You know.
I love it.
I'm writing checks, so balance
your checkbook. And we are excited for people to hear this interview. And we really thank you for your time and giving us your time. And honestly, I feel cooler just having been in your presence for the last 30 minutes. So
thank you. Now I have to write you a check.
You can just make it out to me directly. It's totally fine. Thank you, Vincent Walsh, for joining us. Thank you everyone for listening. And we will see you on the next one. All right. Should we go to do some voicemails?
Bye. Yeah. A little VM.
Little VMs. Okay. This first one is from Laura.
Hello, Rachel and Anna. This is Laura, and I'm sorry this little visit doesn't also accompany some chocolates and candies for you, as usual, but I'm hoping we can do that again one day. First off, huge congratulations to you, Rachel, you and your family. So excited for you, and I'm glad the podcast is back. My question is, have either of you or the cast ever done or thought about doing a sketch show like the Baroness Von sketch show? I think you all would be amazing in it. It would be hilarious to see it with the whole cast. But have any of you ever done such a thing? Thank you. Have a great day.
Huh.
That's such an interesting good voicemail.
It is. I've never been asked that question.
That's because you're underratedly funny. People don't automatically think of you as funny, but you're very
funny.
Thank
you. I'm hilarious.
You are hilarious. I think it'd be really fun to do. We basically do sketch comedy on our panels.
We do. And between takes on the show, we did a lot of sketch comedy. But I've never done, I've never really been given the opportunity to do something like that.
No, people don't think I'm funny either.
You're very funny.
Well, thank
Actually,
you
and I.
I think I'm funny.
We should do it together.
Neither of us are funny. We just both think the other's funny.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Like, why is nobody watching this? It's so funny.
Now it is an excellent question, Laura. And I feel like if we given the opportunity, we would do it.
For sure. Yeah. But I think it actually is, it's interesting because as an actor, it opens up this sort of conundrum that a lot of actors have when they talk about being typecast into certain things. Mm-hmm. And I think you get to a point in your career where people either believe that you're funny or they don't believe that you're funny. Mm-hmm. Like you've done sitcoms or you've done dramas or so I rarely ever get an audition to be funny.
No, me too.
I begged for things to be funny. And people just don't believe me as that.
They just go, nice that you want to do that, but
we sure. need you for this. But it's also, it is very different being funny on a show and being funny in real life. So not to take anything away from the actors who are comedic actors, because that is a skill all unto its own.
It's harder to take material and like funny material and make it funny and keep it funny. You know, it's a real skill. But I would definitely take the opportunity. And Laura, yes, I know exactly who you are when you talk about chocolates and snacks and treats. So thank you. And I hope to see you again at another con real soon. Please bring chocolate. Okay. Another voicemail. The next one is from Karen. Let's take a listen.
Hello, ladies. My name is Karen, and I'm probably one of your older fans. I was wondering if you thought that Lost Girl could be replicated.
I guess by replicated, she means like a reboot, not a reboot, but like a remake with a new cast.
Well, I personally think Lost Girl has been replicated in many different shows.
I think it has too.
Since.
Mm-hmm. It certainly inspired other shows.
Absolutely. I mean, we've had conversations, not to name specific shows, but we've had conversations where we're like, oh my gosh, that's sort of like a Lauren and a Beau and a Kenzie,
yeah,
and a, totally, you know, those character archetypes. Mm-hmm. But could it have a reboot? I mean, I feel like our cast has been talking about a reboot since we wrapped the last episode.
I feel like they could do a remake, meaning like get a whole new younger cast. And
I'm dead. So, like, I'm really dead.
Yeah, but you're dead in the world of Faye. Come on, let's stay in the real world.
I'm really dead. It's my last life. Like, Valkyrie lore.
I find really the dead secret something where I mix it into the sauce and sprinkle it over you, and then you come back.
Sure. I'm just visualizing you, like, saucing me up. My very dead corpse.
I feel like we could also do a reboot where we bring the whole cast back together. I think creatively it would really work. The whole cast comes back together. We've all grown up. We've all matured. In the opening scene is a spell that Trick does. Oh no, he can't. He died too. Someone has to do a spell and then brings all the other cast back. And we're like, oh, you guys are back. And then we just take it from there.
But I also love how you said we've all grown up. Like, we weren't already grown up. So we filmed the original.
Yes, we were children. We've all matured.
Just children in our late 20s and late 30s.
I feel like actors still feel like children.
Peter Pan syndrome, man. I'm telling you, it's Peter Pan syndrome.
But it is an excellent question, Karen. And, you know, we'll keep you posted. Certainly nothing that's in the works at the moment, but it is a great idea.
But hey, this podcast wasn't in the works until someone suggested it. So you never know.
It's true. All right. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Laura.
Bye.
Bye, Rachel. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast, which is produced by Anna Silk, Rachel Skarsten, and Seth Cooperman, with theme music by our very own Blood King, Rick Howland. Please rate, review, and share the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast. This enables us to grow and to continue bringing you exciting new content every week. If you don't already, follow us on Instagram and on our YouTube channel at Lost Girl Rewatch.
You can also subscribe to Patreon, where you will get exclusive video access to all of our episodes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.